I'm letting off steam, gentlemen. Be ready.
This weekend, as many weekends go in Israel, we get freebie papers. Baruch Hashem, we're living in a generation where print is cheap, and people can print papers, and it doesn't cost you a penny to get it. One of these freebie papers was a freebie paper with a story for Shabbos. I'm always looking for stories from my kids, so they can pay me for being their father. So I look at the story. Here is the story. I give it to you almost verbatim. A young gentleman lived in a chiloni house, became religious, and Baruch Hashem is a ben Torah, and is now has an urge to celebrate Pesach with his parents down in Eilat, where they live. So he calls his mother and he says, I'd like to celebrate Pesach with you, but as you know, you don't keep kosher, but it will be very important for me to celebrate Pesach together with you. The mother says, do what you want, my kitchen is your kitchen. So he comes down to Eilat, very generously, his mother says, do what you want in the kitchen, kasher, shmasher. So he takes all the kelim to the mikveh, and then he decides what needs to be kashered with libun, fire. What needs to be kashered with hagala, purging into hot water. What is good enough to do irikli rishon. All the general rules, it's taken care of. The mother then says to him, listen, you want to go buy stuff for the Seder, any heksha you want, here's money. He goes, he buys. As he's leaving the house, the mother says to him, listen, when you go and buy the Motzarim for Pesach, and you really want to celebrate Pesach the way we used to back in Morocco, we didn't eat any olives during Pesach. So don't buy any olives. So this Ben Torah is bothered. What's the story with olives? It's not kitniot, it's not chametz, it's nothing. He calls every single Moroccan rabbi he knows to try to ascertain this custom. Nobody knows. This one and that one, nobody knows. He goes into books of Moroccan customs. It's not written anywhere. Olives is as kosher on Pesach as is potatoes. Finally, he calls Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Zichrono Livracha. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, where is your mother from? And he says, the village that she's from. And he says, I know the minhag. It's a minhag b'ta'ut. It's a minhag that started with a mistake. What's the mistake? In Meseches Harayos, it says that just like olives make you forget, Shemen Zayit, the oil emanating from the olive, makes you remember. So the Jews in this village didn't want to forget the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. After all, what's the obligation on Pesach? You have to remember it every single day. We do that in Kriyat Shema twice a day. And of course, Zachor Tayom Azeh, on this particular day, he got it to Levincha and everything else, you have to remember. They didn't want to forget, so they had a minhag not to eat olives, because the Gemara says olives makes you forget, Shemen Zayit makes you remember. So I'm sure they baked and they cooked, and they of course fried with Shemen Zayit, but they didn't eat olives. The story ends. Up until now, I love the story. Love the story. Cute story. The last line bothers me to no end. The last line goes like this. That year, he celebrated Pesach with his parents, and there was olives on the table. What do you think? Gentlemen, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Soloveitchik, we've quoted a lot. Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, still living today. Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik printed an article which was ingenious. What's it called? Rupture and Reconstruction. In which he suggests in an ingenious way that Judaism for generations was based on tradition. You lived in a town, you can go to the cemetery, you saw generations of generations of your family. Today, I live in Efrat, my parents could have lived somewhere in America, my grandparents in a totally different place. Baruch Hashem, travel today to go places. Because of the Holocaust, because of many other factors, the tradition was lost. And suggests Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, that Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, that ultimately today, where do we get our tradition from? Not our parents and grandparents, but rather books.
He calls it a mnemonic tradition.
A mnemonic tradition versus?
written or whatever.
A written tradition.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I'd like to suggest that this story is terrible. This story is awful for two reasons. Number one, kibbud avaim. Your parents say, do what you want, we'll be happy to celebrate the Seder with you. I'm not even going to make an issue with the kashering of the gishes and whatnot, and buy what you want. Just, I want to tell you, back in Morocco, we didn't have olives, so don't buy olives. That's the custom of our family. And this chatz goes and buys olives because his Rebbe said it's a minhag b'taut. Again, I don't blame Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. He didn't say, go buy olives. He just said it's a minhag b'taut. But more importantly, kibbud av ve'em means that you have to help your parents physically. Yirat av ve'em means that if your parents say something, you don't contradict them. Now, if it's halacha, your parents say to eat chametz, you're not allowed to listen to them. That's an open gemara. But here, what are they saying to you? Don't eat olives. Is olives of a nutritional level that's so vital that you can't eat it on Pesach? That you have to go ahead and buy a can of olives and put it on the Seder and say, here, you were wrong? Absolutely, in my opinion, against the notion of yirat avaim, against that halacha. Two, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in that article suggests that we have a tradition that's not in books, and we have books. And unfortunately, there was a rupture, and then there was a reconstruction. The tradition was broken, and we have to reconstruct it. But it's not hermetically clear in every case. There are traditions that Baruch Hashem we have from our family. Now, anyone in this room believe, or can tell me, anyone in this room can tell me who taught you to shuckle during davening? Which book did you look in that taught you how to shuckle during davening? You know, you go like this. Who taught you? You close your eyes during davening. Who taught you?
I just saw everybody else doing it.
You go to the typical Jew.
Rabbi Art Scroll.
There is a book.
Yeah, it talks about the call.
You didn't answer my question. Excuse me. I don't. You did not answer my question. I'm sorry. What was my question? My question wasn't why you shuckle. I am well aware of the Ramah that says Kol Otzmatai Tomana Hashem Michamocha, amongst many other sources. I didn't say why do you shuckle. I said who taught you how to shuckle.
I just imitated.
When I had to learn how to shake a lulav, okay, I looked in the Shulchan Aruch and he says what to do. Shuckling. Who taught you? Nobody. You picked it up by osmosis. Not everything is taught in books. Certain things are picked up from, and there are living traditions today from various communities, especially around Pesach, and we'll get to that in a moment. So to go ahead and to say, if the books don't say it, I won't do it, is an attitude that, in my opinion, is wrong, because what you're basically saying is, I have nothing to learn from the generations beyond me, and I have nothing to learn from the reality around me in shul. Shuckling is a good example, but I can give many other examples. Who taught you how to shake hands after davening and say Good Shabbos? So again, you want to find sources for Good Shabbos? I'll find your sources for Good Shabbos. There's a whole beautiful debate. If you say Good Shabbos, did you mekayim the mitzvah, the oraisa of Kiddush? Because maybe Kiddush is good enough to say Good Shabbos. Who taught you how to shake hands and say Good Shabbos? You picked it up by tradition. So to go ahead and spit in tradition, you're spitting in many things that you do right now. So firstly, I think it's against Yirat Avaim. Secondly, I think that if you go ahead and you only learn from books, you're going to miss traditions that are part of the Jewish life, amongst them shuckling, shaking hands, Good Shabbos, etc.
Rabbi Lichtenstein, who was my Rebbe at YU many years ago before he made Aliyah, when he came to Pesach, someone asked him what yevek does he use
for karpas,
and he said bananas. And everyone looked at him and said, "Is that your family minhag?" He said, "No, they did potatoes, but we want to show our children that the
bracha of bananas b'rei pri adama. Okay.
So here,
are you sure that story is about Rav Lichtenstein and not about Rabbi Teitz?
No.
Because I heard that exact same story about Rabbi Pinchas Teitz.
Told us
about himself.
about himself.
Now, allow me to buttress the story with another story.
No, but here's an example of why you shouldn't be so upset with that story ending.
I am going to be upset.
Because,
you're not going to convince me.
Because
sorry.
Rabbi Lichtenstein was going against his family tradition, and my tradition as well, and my family of potatoes, and was using bananas.
No,
I don't know if...
I'm sorry, but...
...of his elders were there to see this. No one asked him. But it's an example of someone who was oker minhag, kidei la'arot di. Now, maybe this person, this Moroccan Baal Shubanik, was trying to tell his parents, the minhag shtut, you shouldn't have done it. In other words, it wasn't so much that he was going against them, but he was trying to teach them what the proper din is with respect to olives.
I don't agree with you, because I believe the story you just told is not at all like the story I told, and I'll explain why. Number one, Rav Lichtenstein didn't oker the minhag of karpas. He ate karpas just like his parents. The vegetable was different. Number two, you're assuming that his minhag mishpacha was potatoes. I don't believe that with regard to karpas there's a minhag. There's a din. You have to eat karpas. As to what you choose to eat, Jews ate what they had. What can you do? But back in the old country, there weren't many vegetables and fruits to talk of. So they ate potatoes. To say that was his minhag, I'm not so sure that was his minhag. That's number two. Number three, what's missing in your story is, did he do that when his father was at the Seder?
That I don't know.
Or did he do that in his own home when his father was not at the Seder? In other words, would he in his father's face say, I'm using bananas to show my kids, Berpi Adama, whatever. Number four, here he was oker a minhag, not because it's a minhag shtus, not because he's spitting in the face of his parents, but because of another interest or another goal to be attained that he thought was more important than the minhag of eating potatoes. What was the goal to be attained? That all year long his kids should make a borei pri adama. In this story, on the other hand, he's just not putting olives on the table in order to show his parents it's a minhag shtus, don't do it. I personally believe there's a way of telling parents there's a minhag shtus, but ultimately there's halachos governing that. And it's not, right away, goodbye Charlie, you know, what you did is wrong, take it out. So therefore, if you ask me, I don't think the two stories are the same. One second. I want to just add one more point to it. So we mentioned Yiret Ava'em. We mentioned that if you don't look at traditions around you, all you look at is in books, you're missing things. And now we come to number three. Pesach. There is no more holiday that we have in the Torah that is more surrounding tradition. After all, it is not enough to eat matzah and maror on the Seder night. You have to say it to someone. Who do you say it to? Your children, mainly. Only if you don't have children, Paskins the Rambam, you ask yourself questions. But if you have children, you go ahead and you transfer to them the masoret. On Pesach itself, to go ahead and to spit in the face of the masoret that you got is, in my opinion, wrong. Let's face it. If you think about it, literally, you look at the Seder, the way we treat kids at the Seder is different from all year long. Where else all year long do you give kids candies in order to learn? They have to learn Torah, period. Right at the Seder, you got to coax them. You got to try to convince them. They are so important. The whole Seder is built on passing on the torch, passing on the baton. And on that holiday, to spit in the face of your parents and not to eat, and to go and eat their Seder in their house? Once again, if it was in his own house, let him do what he wants. Yeah. At his parents' house! Go ahead and not eat your olives. And now comes my fourth point, and this point, in my opinion, is an halachic point in every way. Don't spit at minhagim. You'd be surprised that minhagim sometimes have basis in halacha. There is something called a minhag ta'ut and a minhag shtus. But to get to that, you got to be very careful. You got to know what you're doing. In this case, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu found a gemara that supports the minhag. A gemara!
Let me give you another example from my own family. My grandmother, should live and be well, made Aliyah a few months ago. She had a minhag from her family, they eat gebrachs, but on the Seder night, she did not. So, halachically, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean you don't eat gebrachs on the Seder night and the rest of Seder, last of Pesach, yes? If it's an Isser to eat gebrachs, it's for the whole 7 days of Pesach. And if there's no Isser to eat gebrachs, then it's also on the night of the Seder, eat your knedelach. But this is the minhag, this is what she said. Years later, I'm talking about 30-something years later, open Rambam. The Rambam quotes the Gemara verbatim, that on the first day, Beyom HaRishon, you're not supposed to eat matzah ashira, matzah that is very, very rich. What's matzah ashira? It's a big machlokas rishonim, some say egg matzah, some say other things, but he says, Beyom HaRishon, you should not eat any matzah but regular matzah. He doesn't say night of the Seder, like many other Rishonim learn the Gemara. Yom HaRishon means night of the Seder. That for the mitzvah of matzah, you don't eat. You only have to eat a real matzah, not a soaked matzah or whatnot. He says, by Yom HaRishon. Epis, on the first day, there's a mitzvah to eat regular matzah. So if it's a mitzvah to eat regular matzah, it's not soaked matzah. And thus, the briskers, no less, have a minhag that on the first day of Pesach, and Chutz La'aretz, it's the first 2 days, they don't eat gebrachs. Why? Because of this Rambam. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu finds a makor for your minhag in a Gemara. Is it a Gemara that says you're not allowed to eat olives? Of course not. It's an agadata. But there's a makor. So be happy that you're continuing a minhag that's based on the Gemara. And what do? You find the makor, you say the makor is shaky, I'm going to put olives in the face of my parents. So gentlemen, I don't like this story in any way. Number one, it goes against Yirat Avvaim the way I understand it, halachically. Number two, if you spit in traditions, what you're going to do is not pick up so much of the richness of Jewish life. You may, by the way, do Torah and mitzvahs, but you won't pick up the full richness of Jewish life. It's like you go ahead and you just take a drink, but you don't take anything else, because that's the way you were taught in Shulchan Aruch to take a drink. Right next to your drink is ice, but you weren't taught to take ice. It wasn't written in Shulchan Aruch. So your drink now is a good drink. You're drinking. Your body is getting saturated, albeit it's not as enjoyable. Why? Because you don't have ice in your drink. So too, if you go ahead, keep the Shulchan Aruch, but you totally don't look around you, you're missing out. Number three, on Pesach Gufa, it's based on traditions. And we shouldn't break that. And number four, be very careful to spit in the face of Minhagim. There's makoros for many Minhagim that we don't know about. And as time goes on, you may find out, here is a makor for a Minhag that I never understood, that seemed crazy, but here, I found the makor. If the makor is that on Simchas Torah you rack around the bima, and when you get to a certain place you go like this, because back in the old country there was a pillar there, then indeed it's a stupid minhag. But if it's a minhag based on a Gemara and a Rambam, it's a good minhag. Keep it! And if you don't eat olives on Pesach, nothing's going to happen to you. You'll still be a full, fine, cholesterol-free Jew. Or to be more precise, after Pesach, your cholesterol will go up whether you eat olives or not. So don't eat the olives, nothing's going to happen. Yeah, one second, let's go in order. Bruce.
I was curious if the mother herself, every other year, had in fact put olives on the table, because that changes the dynamic a little bit. If she herself had never done it.
She didn't keep Torah and mitzvahs, I'm sure she ate olives and chametz. But now she's saying here we'll do it, and if you want to keep it the way we used to in Morocco, don't put olives on the table. Well, so he should have said, great, fine, here's the a pintle yid, the little bit left from the old country that she's going to, imagine if she didn't have olives on the table. And at that Seder table, he would have said, Mom, we don't have olives at the table like you did in Morocco. I'm sure she would shed a tear. It would bring back memories. But what does he do? He takes that away too.
Well, I'm also curious what the father might have said if they were together. And this may be
not in the story. Don't know. In the story.
He might have pulled this kid aside and don't listen to him. You know, who knows the family dynamics?
Didn't say that in the story. So,
The
I'm judging the story based on what it's written.
In light of that, I'm curious if people who, they're not raised in a Chabad home, or not raised in whatever style they're in, and then they make a rather dramatic change. Everyone thinks, you know, they're upping the bar. Whether they're upping the bar, lowering the bar, the bar is the same, whatever. If they change from their parents, is that the same idea of spitting in the face of their parents? It depends what the change is.
If the change is because halachically I believe that if I do it this way I'm not yotze, then I can't say anything. I would suggest do it betzina, don't do it in front of your parents, etc. But if the minhag is something that doesn't hurt halacha, then why not continue the minhag?
For example, standing, sitting in Kiddush.
Okay.
Yeah.
If the minhag doesn't hurt, and you're still saying Kiddush, why do you have to change it for?
No, I meant to say where it's preset in the house. The son suddenly becomes wrestler, becomes chabad, becomes something that the parents were not. He suddenly puts on a shrimal.
I'm not saying that that doesn't happen.
Is that a problem?
No, I don't think it's a problem because he's mitchazek and he's getting closer to Torah and mitzvot through bretzler, through chabad, etc.
His father tells him not to do that. We don't, that's not our minhag.
Then what's not our minhag? Our minhag is to violate Shabbos, so
no,
you have to continue
Kabbalah,
our minhag.
So again, that's a fielder's choice.
That's a fielder's choice. The person getting closer to Torah and mitzvot through Chabad, but the price will be not continuing the minhag of his parents. How to do it? I don't necessarily think that's the same thing as Aleph's.
Well, there's this concept not to take on Chumras. There's also Gemaras, not to take on Chumras, and I'm wondering. If his son, who's learning that, says, you know, to take on another chumrah, there's enough on Pesach we don't need.
You can absolutely look on a shir on the website, on the YU website, given by a good friend of mine, on the halachos of taking on chumras. And I absolutely agree with you. You don't take on chumras just because it's a chumrah. Yes?
You raise a whole different area that bothers me. We're back in Israel from all the countries in the world with all kinds of different minhagim. Some people try, and so far have failed, to create a minhag achid, such as Rav Gorin, with his
Sidur
achid.
Agreed.
Now, over the generations, you talk about the richness of this, that, and the other, but there's the other approach that now we have to create new Israeli minhagim that everyone accepts. Now, very few people accept that premise. However, there is that netiyah, that tendency in certain circles. I've run into it, you know, people say, yes, it's true, in Morocco we did this, in Poland we did that, but now we're in Israel, we're a Bria Hadasha, we have to create true Israeli minhagim that will unify everyone rather than divide people.
Okay.
Now, how do you answer that?
I will answer it in two levels. First of all, there are certain elements of our life in Israel, halachically, that ultimately have gained the total acceptance of the Jewish people in Israel. Just to name two, Kiddush and Shul Friday night is not done anywhere,
right,
and nobody wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And I'm happy that Baruch Hashem, we can go ahead and on these two issues, there's a machlokes, we've come to a conclusion in all of Israel. However, I am not one that advocates the minhag achid issue, because I believe that part of the richness of your own home is that you feel that you're continuing your parents' home. Not that you're part of the Jewish people, but rather you're also continuing your specific parents' home, or your parents' minhag, or your parents' traditions. And therefore, I don't necessarily think that that's going to succeed. It failed until now, it's going to continue to fail. One with one caveat. The fact that you have one minhag shouldn't prevent you from being part of the Jewish people that have different minhag. And just to give an example, there is absolutely no iser that I know of to go to someone on Pesach that eats kitniot because he's a Sfaradi, because you don't eat kitniot as long as you don't eat the kitniot. You can use the same dishes, you can use the same pots, and there's no problem because it's not chametz.
Will some not go because of that?
Yes! And some won't go because of other issues. Kashrus is kashrus. You have your minhagim, you can keep your minhagim. I'm not talking about halachic minhagim, such as, I only eat glot, because I'm a Shulchan Aruch Jew, and you're a Ramad Jew, you don't eat necessarily glot. I'm talking about other things, such as kitniot. In these situations, in my humble opinion, this should not divide us, it should bring us together. Diversity should be the beauty of the Jewish people. That here, we're open to the halachic system, but yet we're different! So that's where my caveat is. I don't like the fact that we all trying to become one minhag achid, but I believe that ultimately we have to go ahead and try to the best of our abilities not to let that divide us. And it's very easy. You had a comment, and then we have to end for today.
Years ago, we were invited for Pesach. The soup came, you know. I came from a house that had Fake batter, matzo ball, you know, and
right.
Not thinking, I already, you know, I crumbled the matcha into the soup. You should have seen the bottom blast, it almost hit the roof.
Yeah.
This is also the minhag to hit the roof.
If he did it in his own bowl, is that a problem?
Yes, I think it is a problem, because in that house they don't eat kibbutz, and you didn't know. But had you known, you wouldn't have done that.
Well, why would this place matter?
Because in someone's house, you respect the rules of the house. I don't in your house do what I feel like.
Is there a halachic problem with that?
Yes, there's absolutely an halachic problem with that. It's absolutely an halachic problem with that, too.
Doesn't
trafe up the bowl. Of course, the halachic problem is lotas o agudot agudot. You're looking like two Jewish people. But in the same home, that's a problem. If you're in a hotel, there's no minhag in the hotel, everyone does what they want. You crumble your soup into, you crumble your matzah into your soup and he doesn't. So what? But in someone's home, he decides, or she decides, or they decide together what the minhag of the home is. Well, and if it's non-gebrach, it's non-gebrach. The only problem is, they didn't tell you. So what can you do?
But let's say that you make kiddush in your house every Friday at the company. And then someone says, you know what, you mind if I make my kiddush? You would never say, listen, I do kiddush. The yotzim is my kiddush. That's the custom in our.
No, yes.
People would say, fine, do your kiddush if you'd like. Let's say he does the yucky thing.
It's up to you. It's up to you.
No one would tell the guy, up to you. Don't do that.
No. It's up to you. But no. I think you're mixing up two things. Number one, it's up to you. If you decide it's okay, let's have many of you hug him in our house, fine. But normal people, in my opinion, don't work that way. They have a minhag in their home. They sit for kiddush, they stand for kiddush, they do this, they do that. There's definitely a minhag hamakom, not just in shul, but in homes.
We don't tell people.
That's up to you. You can decide to say something, not say something, etc. Whatever it is. But I don't think it's very, very right that in someone's home you decide what you're going to do.
Well, that's
and how you're going to do it. And where you're going to do it. And why you're going to do it.
There are parents who should be liking you. The guy to get upset with you didn't tell
you. Right. That's the problem.
He didn't tell you. But had he told you, you wouldn't crumple your matzah in the soup.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I mean, bread at the table, that's a problem. But matzah in the bowl, so...
Again. No, I don't think you're dividing between bread and matzah.
Yeah, well,
I'm telling you that from the perspective I'm speaking, it's exactly the same. You're in a home, respect the rules of that home. Respect the minhagim of that home. You go to your home, you have your own minhagim. You're in a home with your parents, your mother mentions something to you, that's the only thing she has less of Yiddishkeit, respect it. Don't spit on it. And spitting on it is wrong. You want another example?
No,
according to Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, you shouldn't make Kiddush on Shabbos on schnapps unless you don't have wine.
Right.
That's the halacha. How many Hasidic Jews lekatchila took schnapps and made Kiddush? So if you're anti-Hasidic, you could say they don't know how to learn, they don't know nothing, they spit and everything, they wait till Tzeit HaKochavim to daven mincha, they're all out of their minds, and therefore they also spit on this. Yes? Well, you look in various poskim today. Very poskim that we quote on everything. You can find various justifications for their ancient minhag, that even when there was wine in the cupboard, they used schnapps. Now, I don't think, based on that, it's right for a yeshiva bocher to come home and on Shabbos tell his parents, hey, you're doing it wrong! Shulchan Aruch says wine! Well, the Shulchan Aruch is very important, but he's not the only one.
Well, that approach, but he tells his father in a better way.
And he said, no, there is a beautiful way to say it, but you know, many people come home from yeshivas and they want to convert their parents. They're Shomer Shabbos parents, I admit. Not convert their parents that are not Jewish, or parents that are not Shomer Shabbos. Convert the Shomer Shabbos parents. This you're doing, that you're doing wrong, this you're not doing right. This is also not good. I'm very surprised to find various minhagim that are absolutely okay. But the problem is, you're a primitive Jew still. You're still in the Aruch of Mishnah Berurah. That's all you know. So you don't know that there's a shut of Rav Weiss, and there's a shut like this, and there's a this. No, you know this little thing. And you chutzav, get up. A shtickle and nothing, okay? A shtickle a half of pie, and you go up to your parents and tell them you're wrong. Who are you? Who are you?
Another, my family visits from America, so the house is a halakhic house. And that's the way it is. They can't do what they want. So they say, okay, but they're not happy with that. And then, plus, when we go back to Israel, we also say, now that we're here, guess what? It's a halakhic house. Now we can't be honest about it. So they're very happy with it. So we put our...
Yeah, but that's...
Our,
again, They can choose if they can come to your house, and they can choose to host you in their home. And if they choose it and you say, listen, we have certain things we need, then you can decide yes or no. But I just tell you that there's the chatzufim out there today that do terrible things. I'll share with you a story I heard. It's terrible. A story like this, a guy's coming over, invites himself over for Shabbos, like many yeshiva bachas do, and that's fine. And then he calls up and he asks, what hashkachas do you use? And he says, we use this, that, and the other thing. No, that's not good for me. Can you buy something else?
No.
That's nice. On whose expense? Silence. On whose expense? Silence. You understand?
Yeah.
You understand where we're living today? So therefore I say, gentlemen, first of all, let's get our minds screwed on straight. Number one, you don't go to your parents and spit in their faces because of olives. Number two, you don't go ahead and spit on traditions because you miss so much of the richness of Jewish life if you spit on traditions. If you're just going to learn Shulchan Aruch straight, my word of honor is you won't shuckle in davening because it's not a chiyuv. You won't close your eyes during davening because it's also not a chiyuv. You won't shake hands after davening and say good Shabbos because it's not even written in there. And you can go on and on with various different things. Tell me one place in Shulchan Aruch where it says that you're supposed to wish a Jew Chakashav Sameach. No, it doesn't say, so I don't do it. I do what it says. So you're missing out the richness of Jewish life. Number three, Dafkan Pesach, which is so based on tradition, it's wrong. And number four, here's a minhag with a source. Don't spit on a minhag with a source. A hefech. Keep it. One Jew alive in this world is going to keep a minhag of olives. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Of all the mishagasim we have on Pesach, we have olives. We have chicken, we have olives. We have various things like pickles, because the word chometz sounds like chometz, people didn't drink it. No. Is it a right minhag? Is it a good minhag? I'm not so sure, but it won't kill you. Maybe chometz is a little more because you use it for cooking. It's more vital. But having said that, olives you can live without. I don't like that story. I just don't like that story.
I have a different story for you that I'd like to hear your comments on.
Are we taking someone's time?
Yes. My wife was invited out a long time ago before we were married to someone's house for Pesach, and she slept over. It was a Sephardi home, and they served rice and kitniot. And she asked her Rav, an Ashkenazi Rav, what she should do. And he gave her a very interesting psak, that if you are sleeping there, which he was, you can eat whatever they serve because it's kosher.
But don't enjoy it.
No, he didn't say that. He said it's perfectly okay, that's their minhag. And if you're their guest and you're sleeping there as well as eating there, you can eat there.
Avraham Shapira gave the same psak.
Yeah. I had never heard that psak before. But she said that was her best Pesach that she ever remembered. Because she likes rice and kibbeh.
Beautiful.